So a few weeks ago, I was praying and I was asking God. Somebody I'd already mentioned, somebody had asked me, John, what's your vision for the church? And I said, the harvest is the thing that stands out to me the most. And as I began to, as I went to bed that night and I was laying there in bed, God began to reveal to me that it's more than just the harvest. The harvest is the major, kind of the major thing that we're going after, but also God wants freedom for his children. And so as I began to lay there and I went to sleep, I woke up in the middle of the night and God's screaming in my ear, freedom from bondage. And so as I began to meditate on that over the last few weeks, I began to realize that my messages are kind of leading in that direction. And it wasn't intentional, the power in your scars and how to heal your open wounds and how to build monuments. All this stuff is leading up to freedom from the bondage that God does not want you to live in as a Christian. Church, yeah, go ahead. Y'all can give it up to God. So I was talking to somebody this last week, and I was talking about, we were talking about prayer time and what have you. And this person confirmed to me that God, she was praying, I don't know, a month or two ago, and God, she was asking God, what do you want for our church? And he said, freedom and deliverance. And so she said that last week when I'd mentioned that, it wasn't only confirmation for her, but let me tell you something, it was confirmation for me, and let it be confirmation for you. Church, oftentimes as Christians, I don't know about you, but for me, I've been a Christian for multiple years. I don't know that I've ever really serve God the way that I'm serving him now. I had a lot of time where I called on God, a lot of times that I wanted God to be that so-called genie in the bottle. But as far as just serving God and operating in the presence of God, there's just been very sporadic times in my life where I lived in that freedom and in that peace. And as I begin to think about that, I think about all the bondage that I've dealt with over my Christian life. And so sadly, you know, I've known many, many Christians, and I've had many guys talk to me, and many Christians that live most of their Christian lives with some sort of bondage in their life. And let me tell you something, God has given us the power to overcome that. Actually, he kind of commands us to live in that freedom. And so today, we're going to begin kind of the basis of this freedom from bondage, and this is going to kind of set the foundation, and this will be a series. And so next week we'll begin to talk about specific bondages, one of them being generational curses, another one being fear, one of them being obligation, a religion based on obligation. See, this last year God revealed, maybe 2 years ago, God revealed to me and my wife that when we serve God out of obligation, we begin to do it out. Everything is based on works. God, I was so bad that I'm going to do better, and so I'm going to go do this. Everything is done out of obligation. But whenever we begin to serve God because we want to honor him instead of being obligated to him, man, it shifts our perspective and we begin to walk in freedom. So anyway, over the next few weeks, we'll be talking about that. So church, bondage is designed to rob you of your freedom in Christ, stealing your joy, taking away your strength to operate in the kingdom of God effectively. So as I began to pray and I asked God, why do we even go through bondage? I don't know about you, but there's been times in my life, and I had a buddy ask me one time, he said, we were driving along, and he said, John, why is it I deal with so much bondage in my life? I give God my heart, I'm sold out to him. I know that this is the first time in my life, but now I'm truly sold out to him, John. Everything that I would do, I want it to honor God. But why do I struggle with the things that I struggle with? Why can't God just say, you know what? You're saved now. You don't have to deal with pornography anymore. You don't have to deal with the lust of the flesh anymore. You don't have, he says, John, I don't want any of that stuff. Why do I still deal with that? And so I just told him, I said, man, I don't know. I said, but I do know this. I said, God promises me that I don't have to walk in that bondage any longer. And so I want you to know, church, today, that bondage that's coming against you isn't to take you out. It wants to take you out. It wants to affect your ability to go to heaven, but more than anything, it wants to affect your ability to affect others. See, if Satan can tie me up and bind me up, like he's tried to do all my life, it means that I can't stand on this stage in freedom and offer you freedom. See, the things that happen in your life today may affect generations to come from here on out. And if we allow Satan to keep us in that bondage that he's wanting to keep us in, there are generations after generations after generations of people that won't be affected by this word, this freedom that God wants for you today. Listen, remember, the enemy has come to steal, kill, and destroy. But Christ has come so that we will have life and have it more abundantly. Come on. Hey, listen, y'all don't have to be afraid. Y'all can talk. I'm going to yell. Y'all can yell. I hear somebody trying to get loud out there. I love it. Come on, he says. Listen, church, sadly, many Christians live their life in bondage. We can live in bondage so long that we begin to fear our freedom. See, we got this little rabbit at the house. Somebody brought it to my house. Now I get stuck feeding this thing every morning. This little rabbit, every day I walk past its cage, that little thing, it runs back and forth. It learns that I'm the one that gives it treats. So Mike, this thing, I walk into the house and it's like, and then it bites on the cage three times. Give me a treat. So I walk over to it and I talk to it. I'm a manly man, but I talk to it in my manly voice. Oh, come here. Come on, Libby. Come on out of there, you know. So Libby comes out and she crawls up on my leg and I begin to feed her these treats. And I'm like, you know, this cage is like this big, this tall. All she can do is just run back and forth in this silly cage. And as she's out there, she's living her life of freedom, right? She's got the whole world at her disposal. There's hay that's been kicked out of the cage. It's all over the place. And I got a handful of treats in my hand. And I'm petting on her and I'm loving on her and talking in my manly voice to her. And then all of a sudden, for no reason, she just turns and runs right back into that cage. I know, right? I'm like, what in the world would cause something that's experiencing its freedom to immediately turn and run right back into that cage? See, that bunny's been in that cage so long, that bondage has become that bunny's security. Church, I've known inmates, when I run an inmate program, that would get out of prison and they would be so afraid of the freedom that they were fixing to walk back into, they would walk right back in to bondage and get themselves in trouble to go right back. See, because they had three hots and a cot. They didn't have to worry about anything. They were scared of the freedom that they were going to receive. So I want to encourage you, as God's chosen people, do not live in bondage so long that you become comfortable with your bondage and you fear the freedom that God has for you. Listen, when we live in bondage, we dilute the sacrifice and payment made on the cross. Listen, not only do we have the right to live in freedom, but an obligation to live in freedom. Church, Galatians 5:1 says this. Says it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourself be burdened again by the yoke of slavery. Church, so if this freedom has been paid for, we've accepted Christ, we're going on our way, why is it that we live in bondage and walk in bondage today? I found many scriptures in the Bible that talk about not being double-minded. Church, whenever we accept Christ, we have to make up our mind that day who we're going to serve. See, there's a scripture in the Bible that says, listen, you're going to be a servant. I told Pastor Jeff the other day, I said, listen, whenever I decided to start my own company, I thought I'll never work for anybody else again. Nobody's going to be my boss. I'm going to go out and I'm going to do my thing. I'm going to build my houses and I'm going to be my own boss. Nobody's going to tell me what to do. Listen, I just got more bosses with more money than what I had, and they tell me what to do every single day. In this life of freedom, God says you lose your life, you will find your life. You accept Christ, you no longer are a slave to sin, but guess what? You have to make a decision to be a slave to righteousness, a slave to Christ. And it's through that slavery to Christ, our servanthood to Christ, that we gain our freedom. See, he says, take my yoke upon you because my burden is easy, or my burden is light. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. Church, the Bible says in Matthew 6:24 that no one can serve two masters. Listen, either you will hate the one or love the other, or you will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve two. You cannot serve both God and money. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says this, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone and the new is here. See, my problem is I wake up in the morning and I say, you know what, Jessica, I'm a new guy today. My old guy is gone. Now I'm a new guy. And by about breakfast time, that old guy seems like he comes back and I'm looking for the new guy. Church, listen, we got to make up our minds that whenever we shuck all this sin and we get out of this sin and God's redeemed us, that we don't turn around and we don't walk back into it. See, that new guy that you're walking around with, that new guy that you don't recognize in the mirror, that's who God wants you to be on a daily basis. Listen, do not return to the things that once entangled you. You are a new creation. We can't live in freedom. God wants us to live in and continue to be entangled by the lust of the flesh. You say, listen, Pastor John, what if I've already fallen? You know, I accepted Christ. I was doing everything right. Doggone it, I fell into my temptation and I fell back into my sin and I've done things that I shouldn't have done in my life. Listen, you pick yourself back up off of the floor. You dust yourself off and you ask God to forgive you and you keep walking. You keep running that race. Church, where are you getting your truth from? 2 Timothy 4:3 says this. It says, for the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desire, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. Listen, we must resist the temptation to make the word fit our lives, but conform our lives to the word. Church, you know how easy it is to take, there's so many resources out there. Me and Jessica was talking about this yesterday. There's so many resources out there that if I want to look up a definition for a word in the Bible, I don't know how you make sense of it. There's like 20 different definitions for one word. So if I want to, I think this is why it takes me so many hours to put a message together, is because I want to make sure that I don't use Scripture out of context. So as I'm going through Scripture, God, I feel like God brings back a Scripture to my memory to fit my sermon. And as I begin to read around that and I read it in its context, that Scripture means absolutely nothing of what I thought it did. So now then I could take that Scripture and put it in here and wrap everything around it and make you believe that that's what that Scripture means. But I'm not doing the word justice and I'm not doing myself justice. But whenever I take and I read that thing in context and I apply it to my life and I don't try to make it bend and mold around John, but I make John mold around that Scripture and what that Scripture really means, it brings freedom to my life. See, we think if we take that Scripture and we mold it to us, we're going to experience freedom, because I don't want to conform to the way that that word says that I should live, but I want that word to conform to the way my life wants to live. Church, when we do that, that Scripture loses its power. The word is unchanging. Church, we must adjust our lives to the word of God. Listen, in John 8, 31, 32, it says this. It says, to the Jews who had believed, Jesus said, if you hold to my teachings, you are my real disciples. Church, then, when you hold on to his teachings, it says, then you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. Church, as we meditate on Jesus' teaching, he will reveal his truth through his Holy Spirit. I don't know about you, but sometimes when I read the Word of God, Brother Bob, I don't know if you dealt with this, but sometimes when I read the Word of God, it's almost, there's these gray areas that I'm just like, is it right or is it wrong? And without the Holy Spirit and God's revelation on my life, I don't have a clue what direction to go. And so I have people come up to me on occasion, and especially at the skating rink, and they say, hey, Pastor John, is this sin really a sin? And here's what I go back to every time, and this is what I would encourage you to go back to every time. The Bible says that God no longer writes his laws on tablets of stone, but he writes them on your heart. See, what I've found through ministry is I don't have to tell these kids what they're doing wrong. They already know in their heart that what they're doing is wrong. Church, I'm here to tell you that you don't have to question. If you're questioning and your heart's telling you it's wrong, listen to your heart. You listen to that conviction because the world and Satan want you to believe that what you're feeling is wrong is right. And that's how we get confused in this world. You have to rely on that Holy Spirit and that conviction on your heart. Church, we must seek out revelation through personally abiding in his word. Listen, Matthew 4 and 4 said this. It said, Jesus answered, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. As I begin to read that, see, Satan was trying to tempt Jesus. Jesus had been starving for a while. I don't know if he had been the full 40 days at that point. But Jesus was hungry, and the enemy come to him, and he said, listen, talk to that stone and tell it to turn into bread, and you'll have something to eat. And he said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Church, if this message is the meat and taters of your relationship with God, you're hurting. If this is the only place that you're getting the Word of God and you're getting fed, you're starving. See, the stuff that roots so deeply inside me is whenever I sit down with God and I allow His Holy Spirit to give me wisdom in my life. But see, we come to church like this and we only open our Bibles, or maybe we don't even open our Bibles, but we sit here in church and you listen to what I have to say. And if that's the only thing you're going to feed on, and then wonder why we're walking in bondage. Listen, church, this is a tough world we're living in, and if you're not walking in a constant prayer and constant meal with your God and your Father on a daily basis, you'll walk right off into bondage. You say, Pastor John, but I read the Word. I've tried to sit down. I tried to read the Word, and I don't understand it. I don't know about you, but sometimes the Greek definition makes more sense than the English definition to me. But when I was at Lowe's one time, there was this lady, and it was in the summertime. And y'all, anybody in here have whiskey barrels in their garden? You know, for have flower beds, a few of you, we have some. Well, this one day we show up, and this lady's over there, and she's watering all these whiskey barrels. Half of them are all falling apart. Rings are falling off of them, and they're laying in a bunch of slats laying around the base. All we need is two or three of them, but we're digging around trying to find some that are put together. We had a Sunday school class or a small group one time, and we were talking about how that when we read the Word of God, we just can't quite seem to understand it. And God reminded me of this picture that I seen of this woman watering these water barrels. And see, in construction, used to my hatchet, my drywall hatchet, the head on it would get loose. And so I would take that thing and I would drop it down in a bucket of water. I could take it right back out of the water, still just as loose and shake around, but I could drop it in there and leave it for a few hours, pull it out. You couldn't remove that head off of that hatchet hammer. And God showed me that, see, as that woman's out there and she's watering these whiskey barrels, that wood's slowly absorbing this moisture. And as that wood absorbs this moisture, these slats begin to tighten inside these rings. See, when she was first pouring water in it, that water was pouring out of every crack in that whiskey barrel. But the more and more that she began to water that whiskey barrel, those slats began to tighten up. And before you know it, not a drop of water was coming out of that whiskey barrel. It was holding everything that she was putting into it. Church, the Word of God is almost like it. When I first started reading the Word of God, it was like, man, everything's slipping out of every crack I got. Let me tell you, I got two of them right here, and it's like it's empty between it. But the more I begin to read and the more I begin to rely on the Holy Spirit and the more I begin to ask God for wisdom, I started to notice that my life was taking in more and more of this Word. I was telling Jessica yesterday that now then it's almost like it's odd. I can't remember half y'all's names. Sorry. But I can remember Scripture like that. See, I sat around and I began to write my messages and Scriptures just start flooding back into my memory. I may not be able to tell you exactly where they're found, but I can almost quote them word for word. And this is what I believe is the more I pour that into my life, the more God hides that in my heart. And when I need that and when I'm in trouble and when I have times of bondage, God brings those Scriptures back to my remembrance and I have that on file and I can access it when I need it. See, I don't always have to go. I love this Bible, but I don't always have to go to this Bible. What happens if you're at work and you don't have this thing with you and you run into a situation? Have you hidden God's Word in your heart? Or is the only advice you have to run to is your coworker that doesn't even believe in God? See, church, we got to quit looking to people that don't have a relationship with God that are walking in bondage yourself to try to free us from the bondage that we're living in. This right here is the way, it is the truth, and it is the life. Church, another reason we walk in bondage as Christians is we misunderstand grace. See, misunderstanding grace can lead us back into bondage that we were set free from. Let me read you this scripture, Romans 5:20 through Romans 6 and verse 1. It says this, it says, the law was brought in so that trespasses may increase. But where sin increased, grace increased all the more. So that just as sin reigned in death, so also grace might reign through righteousness to bring eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So listen, if we have a little fire, we need little water, right? We have big fire, we need big water. It says, so what shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? That would make sense, right? If I'm going to get more water, let's build this fire bigger. If we're going to get more grace, let's just keep on sinning. Let's just do what we were doing before because God's grace is sufficient, right? And here's what he says. He says, so should we go on sinning so that grace would increase? He says, by no means. We are those who have died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Church, let me tell you something. I've used it, and I know some of you in here are using it right now. I don't know who. I'm just telling you, God wouldn't lay this on my heart for no reason. But I've used it as a license to sin. See, it goes on to talk about, Paul goes on to talk about that now then, he can do anything, but he also says, but not all things are beneficial. So as I walked through my Christian life, there were times that the Holy Spirit would start to impress on me that, John, don't watch that show. Like, but God, other Christians do. John, don't go to that bar. But God, I know other Christians. They go. I'm going to go there and I'm going to witness. See, I read right here that all things are permissible. Now then that I have grace on my life, God, I can do that stuff. Don't worry about it. Your grace will be sufficient. Church, let me tell you something. God's grace is there for when you fall. And it's way more than enough. But why would we go around lighting wildfires in our life and asking God for more water? See, God loves you and God wants you to walk in freedom, but God wants you to use the common sense that He gives you. See, if I'm empty between here and here and I've got a little bit of common sense, I'm looking at some of y'all look a little empty in there too, but I'm not talking about you, Bradley. It's okay. No matter how empty I am up here, I'm full right here. See, God's written that law on my heart. And the minute I begin to mold this word to fit my life, to mold it to fit my fleshly desires, to mold it to give me the law to walk right back off into the sin that God delivered me from, is the moment as a Christian you and I walk back into that bondage in our life. There ain't near as much clapping and woo-hooing today. Brother Bob, what's that mean? Listen, you know what's right and wrong. The word, I've already said that. I don't need to go over that again. Church, listen. Don't allow your freedom to become somebody else's bondage. I'm going to say that again. Don't allow your freedom in Christ to become somebody else's bondage. One more time. Church, don't allow your freedom to become somebody else's bondage. Listen, let them remain true to their convictions. Listen, the Bible talks about if you feel like by faith something's all right for you to do and it's going to cause your brother to fall, you should abstain from it. It says you take yourself and you go back into your house and you do it behind closed doors. Church, but here's something else. Listen, there's so much bondage that I watch our children walking through today because of the things that we've led them into. Right? Don't become addicts. But if you want to do it in moderation, don't worry about it. It'll be okay. Don't get addicted. Just make sure you do it in moderation. Church, here's what I would tell you. If you look around and you see the majority of Americans living in bondage, I don't know, I would just try to stay away from it. Pastor Temple used to say, "Y'all still love me?" Y'all notice I brought my golf bag today? Anybody going to ask me what for? Come on, somebody. I'm not telling you yet. Oddly enough, God woke... You got to be careful becoming a pastor because everything you do, God uses for a sermon. So I went golfing the other day, and I woke up at 1:30, and God used that golf bag and literally preached to me all night long. And this may seem funny, but it really is up here out of faith because I don't have it written into my sermon, but I know God's going to use it over these next few weeks. I just don't know when. I don't know if you're going to know today or if you're going to know next week, but I set it up here out of faith that when God's ready, I'm going to use that thing. Listen, church, we weren't designed to walk through this life alone. Actually, I think I am going to use it today. Here we go. I practiced this morning, so bear with me. I'm not going to do that. Here's what God showed me. See, when I first started golfing, which has only been about maybe a year ago, the only club that I focused on was this one right here. I would go home, ask my wife, I've hit thousands and thousands of balls. Somebody, Pastor Temple, said I'm a better preacher than I am a golfer. And I'm not a great preacher, so that tells you how bad of a golfer I am. But whenever I first started practicing, I would go to Topgolf and I would see her uncle, which has golfed his whole life, and this club never come out. He would always grab these clubs. And I'd see him working on them, and I'd think, well, that's kind of lame. That thing don't even go very far. Watch how strong I am, Uncle Chris. And so I would grab this one here, and I would swing this thing, and I'd try to hit the fence every time, right? Well, then I get out to the golf course, and I grab this thing, and I realize the only place I get to use this one is on that tee box, which is like 500 yards away from this little bitty hole that's like this big around. And so I get up there, and this thing that has drawn my attention all this time and that I put all my faith in, I hit my ball as hard as I can, and lo and behold, there that thing goes. Woo! Half the time it does just like that. It hits the trees and it bounces out of the fairway. After I leave that tee box, Pastor Jeff, I have to put this thing back in my bag like this, and I put the cover back on it. Still looks pretty. But once I leave that tee box, that thing never comes out of my bag again. See, I get out there and I start having to finesse or trying to finesse that ball up onto that stupid green with that stupid little bitty hole on it with all these clubs that get very little attention down here. And here's what God showed me that night. He said, John, all you can do is get the ball in the playing, in the fairway. All I can do is bring you the word. See, John, you're like this driver right here. You might look pretty, but you're not that important. But the rest of those clubs in that bag, that's where the game's won. Church, you're those clubs. See, I can cast that ball out there. I can give y'all the word. I can do all my studying all week long. I can get up here dressed all pretty in this shirt that my wife bought me. Thank you, by the way. And I can present it as well as I can. And if you leave it laying on the ground and you don't do something with it, all this stuff is worthless. Church, as a body of Christ, the amount of power that you have to effectively minister to everybody in here is unbelievable. So why do we walk in bondage? Maybe it's because we try to do it on our own. Maybe it's because we come in here and your bald-headed pastor gives you a message and you leave it laying on the ground. Maybe it's because you allow the word or you try to mold the word to your life instead of molding your life to the word. But here's what I know. You weren't intended to do it on your own. See, the Bible talks about us being the body of Christ. See, there's a head and there's some arms, there's some feet. I may walk up here like I got two left feet, but I do. I have a right and a left foot. And each member of that body was created for a specific purpose. Church, if you'll look around and you pay attention to the people in this congregation right now, there's people that are hurting. There's people, if you spend enough time with them, you'll find out that they may be in bondage. And through your stories and through your life and through the faith that you have in a God that you're serving that pulled you out of that bondage, you can help them out. Would you guys stand with me?